Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And all right, excited to do this. We got to check in on our friends from around the division. See, things aren't contentious now. We can all talk smack. I see it on the Browns Reddit board every day. We can make fun of Baltimore and Pittsburgh.
Who goes to the Browns Reddit board every day?
I do.
Come on, Lima. Probably should stop.
What are you doing? They're not fond of me there. But who knows what they have to say about Ken Weinman, who joins us from Baltimore on 105.7. All guests appear on North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline as we go around the division. Ken, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Very good. And I want to know from you straight up, was the media, since we're getting accused of this every single day in Cleveland, did the media blow it out of proportion about Lamar Jackson and whatever offense they're running in Baltimore?
Which part? You mean when he acted like he just found out about the offense?
That would be it, yes.
Yeah. So here's the thing about Lamar. I think he's a bit green when dealing with the media. I don't think that's what he meant to say. Let's put it this way. There's no way possible he showed up for OTAs and that was the first time he knew there was a new offense being installed. I think he was trying to say that he found out they were installing a new offense at some point and it just came out of his mouth before he realized what he was saying. He needs some work on talking with the media.
So Gerald McCoy chooses the Carolina Panthers. How big of a loss was that for Baltimore?
I think he was more of an – I talked with one of your shows before the – I think it was one of the different shows before it happened. I thought he was more of a need for the Ravens than the Browns.
Uh-huh.
Sounds to me like he wasn't – I think Mrs. McCoy put the kibosh on coming to Baltimore. I read one of those Ian Rappaport stories who said he loved the Ravens and Browns but wasn't thrilled with the cities themselves. Now, I don't know what the negative on Cleveland is. I know that for years there's been that reputation, but I was there a couple of years ago. I thought the city's pretty cool. Now, with Baltimore, as much as I'm born and bred here, there's not a lot of positives coming out of the city of Baltimore these days, especially if you're looking at it from the outside looking in. And I'm sure Mrs. McCoy is aware of the riots and stuff that happened, and even though they wouldn't be living in Baltimore, my personal opinion is she shot down him coming to Baltimore.
Ken Weinman joining us on the hotline, giving us up to date on Baltimore. The thought in Cleveland seems to be, when it comes to the Ravens, that there's no way a gimmicky offense, and of course you guys hired Greg Roman to kind of do what Colin Kaepernick was doing in San Francisco a few years ago, there's no way this gimmick could work a second straight year. Do you believe it will be, quote-unquote, a gimmick for a second straight year?
If they do what they did last year for the whole year, they're going to get Lamar Jackson killed. He's got to throw the ball more. I think it will be a run first offense, but Lamar will be passing the ball, and they brought in weapons to sort of try to complement Lamar Jackson, whether it's Marquise Brown, Miles Boykin. They drafted the two tight ends last year, and Hayden Hurst looked great in camp and preseason before he got hurt last year, and he's put on 20 pounds of muscle this year. So they've got all these weapons to get brought in Mark Ingram. They brought in these weapons. Now Lamar's the key, and I don't think he needs to be Drew Brees, but I think if he can get the completion percentage up to say like 62% from 58%, then the offense can be pretty scary.
Ken, how about on the other side of the ball? This was a great defense last year, some changes on the defensive side of the ball. So how's that coming along?
So the thing with what they did on defense, Za'Darius Smith and C.J. Mosley got way too much money. I don't think the Ravens were ever intending to pay Za'Darius Smith. I think they got in on C.J., even though I personally think C.J. Mosley's a real good player, not a great player. He can't cover. But they're confident Pino Owosu and Kenny Young can sort of take over there. As far as Weddle and Suggs are concerned, they can't play anymore. And I know they're longtime NFL players, and Suggs, I think, is going to go to Canton one day. But the last 10 games, he had a sack and a half. And I don't think Weddle had a pass defense all year. If Earl Thomas is healthy, the guy's a playmaker and a huge upgrade. The one concern is, what are they doing for pass rush? They have Matthew Judon, but Tim Williams and Tyus Bowser have been complete zeros so far. Two guys they drafted on the second day a couple years ago. They bring in Shane Ray and Pernell McPhee, and we'll see if they get anything out of those guys.
Great stuff, Ken. Appreciate you joining us.
No worries. Anytime.
All right, there he is. Now we go out to Cincinnati, and we bring in Mo Egger, terrific radio show host there at ESPN 1530. Cincy, love when I hear him nationally as well. Mo, welcome to the show. And there seems to be this thought, as there is in a lot of camps every year, that this year it's going to be different. We talked ourselves into that all the time in Cleveland. I'm hearing that with Andy Dalton down there in Cincinnati again.
You know, we've had some fun with that, because every single year, seemingly since Andy Dalton's second season in the NFL, someone has, you know, written a story or tweeted out the anecdote that Andy's being more vocal, you know, that kind of thing. We deal with it every mini camp, but no, look, it's a new head coach with an offensive background, and specifically when you hear the offensive players, they talk about two things. They talk about an offense that is going to be maybe a little bit more progressive and a little bit more aggressive and forward thinking, and also different methods of teaching. And I've heard players on both sides of the football say that, look, this franchise has gone all in on the new coaching staff. Mm. Now, what do I mean by that? They really didn't change over the roster. They really didn't make any sweeping, you know, moves in free agency aside from adding bit parts here and there. Obviously, you know, they took players in the draft, and they're going to be relying on a lot of those guys. But I think the overriding message this offseason was, it's not the organization and it's not the roster. It was the coaches. Hmm. And so we'll see if that translates into more than six wins. But yeah, they very much put the onus on a coaching staff with a defensive coordinator who's never really been a defensive coordinator, an offensive coordinator who's never called plays, and obviously a first-time head coach.
So what's the key, Mo, if they're going to exceed expectations, or at least the expectations that people have for them around the NFL?
Well, there's probably not just one, but if I had to boil it down to any, I think this has to be the year where Joe Mixon takes the leap. And he was very good last year. He led the AFC in rushing yards, and you know, you kind of put an asterisk by that because of the Kareem Hunt situation in Kansas City, but he did have a very good second season behind an offensive line that wasn't great. I think he is the guy who has the potential to take the largest step forward. He has, you know, despite, you know, what everybody said and wrote about him coming out of Oklahoma, and as controversial as that selection was, he was the guy that had, you know, the highest ceiling of anybody they've taken in a long time. And if they can be a dominant running team, that's going to mean this offensive line has taken a major step forward. It's also going to mean that Andy Dalton has to do less. And look, they had the worst defense in the NFL last year. I certainly think they can be better, but they're probably not going to be very good. How do you keep them off the field? Extending possessions with your running game. I think there's a lot on Joe Mixon this year. Running backs, if they're ever going to take that major step towards stardom, it typically happens in year three. It's year three for Joe Mixon.
Is there a scenario, if things don't go well, where they would trade A.J. Green?
That's a great question. I sort of said this offseason I would have gone ahead and tried. Mm-hmm. Just because I think I hate the word tank, but I think there was some validity.
We love
to
it here.
That because, well, yeah, and look, my point was within 14
tank
months,
champions.
The Cleveland Browns went from winless to the talk of the NFL.
Right,
if
right.
you do it the right way and if you get the right quarterback, things can actually turn around quite quickly. I would have looked at the teams that tried to get Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham and said, look, we've got a guy who might not be quite as good, but there are no headaches with this guy. Mm-hmm. You're going to get a total pro and a guy going into his walk year extra motivated. I think if they don't get a deal done with A.J. Green, and I still think they will between now and the beginning of the season, I think that's on the table. The Bengals typically don't do those types of things, but they've preached, hey, things are different. It's a new day. Some of the typical things that you associate with us, you know, we're going to be more open to doing. I think that's going to be worth paying attention to. I doubt they would. And again, I think they will get a deal done before week one. But I think there's some validity to that question. Absolutely.
All right. Great stuff, Mo. We appreciate it. And good luck trying to complete a season without Hugh Jackson helping out there on the sidelines.
It's going to be tough.
Two of the teams facing that very dilemma. Thanks, Mo.
All right, guys. See ya.
All right, there he is. And now we go to Pittsburgh. We welcome in Chris Muller. He's over there at 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Okay, we had a Didi Kikabwala on yesterday, Chris. And she said immediately, she goes, oh, this drama that you guys are talking about in Cleveland is nowhere in the same stratosphere as what we just went through in Pittsburgh a year ago. You have a tight handle on both these situations. You know the Browns very well. Do you agree?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with Aditi. She's come on my show before, and we've gone round the bend here for 20 minutes talking about the absurdity of the Steelers. Like, it was funny. On my show yesterday, my co-host, Andrew Filippone, brought up that, you know, they cut Harrison loose because he misses a flight. He misses, mandatory workouts or OTAs or whatever. And I said, that's not drama. Isn't that Freddie Kitchens just saying, like, this is how it's going to be? That was what we all criticized Mike Tomlin for. He let certain guys have certain rules. Your starting left tackle doesn't show up on time. Bye-bye. The Steelers thing, and this is what it all comes back to for me. I mean, everyone, you know, it all makes good copy when there's drama, when there's this, when there's that. Does your quarterback set the tone on and off the field? Does the quarterback sort of take the lead? And most importantly, does the quarterback, when it comes time and the bullets are flying out there and you're down six in the fourth quarter, send you on a game-winning drive and not, in the Steelers' case last year, you know, throw a crippling turnover or an interception at the goal line or whatever you want to call it. Roethlisberger wasn't very good last year, and if he had been better, you know, he led the league in picks, led the league in red zone picks, they probably would have made the playoffs. Like, that's just a fact. So there's that. And I love, if I'm a Browns fan, I love what Mayfield does. I mean, he goes to war for his teammates, it seems like. I love that he chirps Colin Cowherd because I think he comes out on top almost every single time there. And there's no like latent animus that you sense with the Browns. It's all, can they make all these moving parts work? With the Steelers, the rifts were there already, and then they kind of got exposed and laid bare last year.
So, Chris, this offseason for the Steelers, it's been more subtraction than addition. So how do they improve despite the fact that the roster hasn't significantly improved?
I mean, they're going to really try to pull off that, like, whole high school mindset of less is more. Like, we got, I don't think the guys on that team either really disliked Le'Veon Bell. I thought some of them said some really dumb stuff that was out of character. Like, some smart guys on that team ripped Bell and kind of counted his money for him at the start of the season, and I thought that was bad, but I don't think they disliked him. I think they know how good he is. I don't even think guys on that team disliked Antonio Brown in a lot of cases. Like, some of them have still kind of gone to the mat for him after the fact here. But with those two guys gone, it's inarguable they're worse talent-wise. So they're going to have to get by on the idea that Roethlisberger, when he doesn't feel like he has to throw the ball to Brown, 15 times a game, is going to be a little bit more efficient, a little bit cleaner. And I think as far as guys that they're hoping step up, it's pretty obvious that they're praying for some sort of like facsimile from Dante Moncrief, from James Washington, who was really disappointing as a second-round pick last year. They're hoping for a reasonable facsimile of Antonio Brown's production. So if I had to pinpoint one guy, it would probably be Washington, to be honest. I think they're going to look for him to be the deep threat down the field and not, I don't know, dive for footballs he doesn't need to like he did in Denver and pretty much come up empty. If it's James Washington having a big year and Juju kind of ascending into that number one role, excuse me, and flourishing, then I think they could. And they also need Devin Bush to be awesome on defense because their defense stunk last year. It was middle of the road in points allowed, but they weren't good. Like, you wouldn't look at them and say that's a shutdown unit. So if Bush is better, then, okay, maybe you've got something here. But I'm a little skeptical. That's why I picked the Browns already to win the division.
Chris, one last thing. We appreciate your time. Who are your fans picking?
Yeah, I'm walking with, if I sound out of breath, it's because I'm pushing a six-month-old in a stroller because he was screaming in the house, and I didn't want to put that on you guys. So.
It seems like to be a running theme. We had Underwood yesterday, who was breathing in and out, our Indians voice.
Usually,
I run half marathons, too. Like, I'm in decent shape. I don't know why I can't talk.
I get that in, yeah.
Usually when someone comes on,
ridiculous.
When someone comes on from Pittsburgh, like Chris or Aditi, there's a kid in the background.
Always,
screaming.
Yes. Who are the fans picking to win the division right now in Pittsburgh?
I think so. It's so funny. Like, you've got your Skip Baylesses, your Cowherds of the world doing the whole, oh, the Browns are going to implode take. This is the time to put your money on the Pittsburgh Steelers. And all these people in Pittsburgh who hate these guys' guts 95% of the time suddenly are the biggest fans of them in the world because they're taking the Browns down a peg and they're going for the Steelers. So I think people wishfully want to believe that the Browns implode. And so they're taking the Steelers. But you're getting, I think, in town an undercurrent of people acknowledging that if it works for the Browns, like if everyone kind of plays nice, and if Mayfield makes that big jump from year one to year two that I think you hope all quarterbacks make, I think people like are willing to concede that the Browns could be very, very good and a big problem. But the majority of them still, I would say, are saying, oh, the Steelers are going to figure it out. Okay, we'll see.
All right, Chris, our fans want to give you a radio show immediately. So
yeah, I kind of, you know, this stuff doesn't play as good at, you know, in my hometown here when I'm on the air. It's weird. When I say this kind of stuff on the air from 2 to 6 here, they don't want to, like, canonize me. It's so odd.
It's like bizarro right now what's going on. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate you coming on. Let's do it again.
Pleasure, guys, as always.
All right, there he is, Chris and Mo Egger, as well as Ken Weinman, appearing on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Somebody currently is chasing him. And right. And the stroller.
Pittsburgh fans.
Yeah,
they're not happy
with
just
him. Heard that.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.